$5 today?
I don't know. Been some issues. I'll talk to you later.
So Sif Beis, we finished. We wanted to see a little bit and see if Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, at least parts that are relevant to us. So Sif Aleph spoke about Dvorim Haboim Machmas Asudo and Dvorim Haboim Shelo Machmas Asudo, Bosor, Dogim, etc., etc. All of those will be incorporated. Dvorim Haboim Shelo Machmas Asudo, like fruit, etc., would not be included in the Brocha Rishayno, but they would in the Brocha Acharino. Sif Beis told us a halacha which is perhaps no longer relevant, and that is that if it comes after the meal, after you've been moishech yodayim min hapas, what's the halacha then? The halacha is that it's not included in anything, not the bracha rishayna and not the bracha achrayna either, which the Shulchan Aruch says that doesn't really apply nowadays. Why not? Because nowadays the general custom is that we don't really withdraw our hands at all. We're not moishech yodayim. As long as we haven't benched, we're still very much in the meal. We don't remove the table and remove everything before we bench. And therefore, everything is really considered to be Teicha Su'udah, which means that actually things are rather simplified now. It really all depends on only one factor. Is it Dvarim Haboim Machmas HaSu'udah or Shalom Machmas HaSu'udah? And that's all there is. If it's Machmas HaSu'udah, then what? It is incorporated in the Bracha Rishayna. And if it's Shalom Machmas HaSu'udah, it's not. And that's really this entire sugya, which is quite complicated, it's all summed up, therefore, in one line. Birkas HaMozen covers absolutely everything. And whether your bracha HaMoitzi covers everything, that depends. Whether it's machmas or shalei machmas. That's all there is. Simple as that. Now, we wanted to see some other nakudos in Siv Gimel. Look at Siv Gimel. Ve'im koivea lifton su'udosoi al ha'peiris. We're in Siv Gimel. Kufayin Zayin, Siv Gimel. Im koivea lifton. Remember we discussed this shaila. What would be if you have the only thing you're really eating is peiris? Now, normally peiros, by definition, are considered to be dvarim haboim shaloi machmas hasuda, because they're not really normally eaten with bread. They're not there really to satiate you. Rather, what are they there for? They're there to give you a taste, kinuach. Therefore, we always called it dvarim haboim shaloi machmas hasuda. And if you remember, we said it makes no difference really whether you eat the peiros during the meal or after the meal. So the example we gave, if you remember, is if you have a candy in the middle of the meal, you bring chocolates in the middle of the meal, then certainly you made a bracha rishayna. So even though we call it dessert, but we have to be very careful, it's a bit of a dangerous word. Because dessert is the phrase that we use for food at the end of the meal. But halacha does not really distinguish between at what juncture of the meal you're eating. Rather, is it machmas or shaloi machmas? Here the question is, one second, I'm eating fruit, but that's not in addition to anything. That is the meal. So now we have a question. Maybe we're going to consider the fruit, Dvorim, Haboim, Machmas HaSu'udah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. V'im Koveya Lifton Su'udosei. If you're Koveya, the Lifton, what's being Melafei Ses HaPas, the accompanying of the bread is Al HaPeiros, and that's all there is. Havalei HaPeiros, Kedvorim, Haboim, Machmas HaSu'udah. Then all of a sudden, fruit will be Dvorim HaBoim Machmas HaSu'udah. So what will be the halacha? You would not make a bracha Rishayna, and certainly not Achrayna, according to this opinion. We'll see in a moment. It's Machlekes. Va'afilu im oichel me ha'peirois b'tchilas su'udasa, even if you eat the fruit at the beginning of the meal, b'loy pas, you're not actually eating it together with the bread. Rather, you wash, you eat bread, and only afterwards you have your apples. Doesn't matter. Einoy mevarech loy lifneihem v'loy la'achreihem. Because according to this opinion, this is actually the opinion of the Rosh, the fruit now becomes the integral part of the meal, such that, how do we categorize it? Dvorim ha-boim, machmas ha-suda. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there is an alternative opinion. This is the smag. Ve-yesh cholkim. And there are some who disagree. What do the yesh cholkim hold? That fruit cannot be considered dvorim ha-boim, machmas ha-suda. Unless, of course, you actually ate it on the bread. Everybody agrees, if you put apples on your bread, you made apple sandwiches, then of course you don't have to make a bracha because it's tofel. But if not, you washed, you had bread, and then you have fruit, according to this second opinion, which is the opinion of the smag, we would then say that this is considered dvarim boim shalei machmas asuda, in which case, normal rules would apply, and you'd have to make a bracha rishena. So you have a huge machlaikas. What do? Do you make a bracha or you don't make a bracha? Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'lachein. Therefore, best is, in order to avoid this whole issue, toiv, it's good, sheyoichal b'tchilo mehapeirois impas. Best would be, therefore, to eat in the beginning the fruit together with the bread, such that when you launch this meal, the fruit was really tofel, absolutely tofel. And after that, afilu imacharkach yechel mehem beloipas. After that, even if you then go and eat further fruit without bread, it doesn't matter. Einom tuunin brocha klal. It would no longer require a brocha. Why? Like we saw in Siv Beis, because it initially came to the table as a tofel. Says the Ramah Hago. And he explains, even though you never actually ended up eating any other fruit with bread, but seeing as at the end of the day the main kvius was over them, that was tofel, it was included in bread, and that was that. Let's say with the Mishnah Berurah in Tezvov. Ve'im koveya. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Tezvov. Rod Soloima, shekvias su'udosoi, the kvias of his suda, lelafes hapas, hoya rak elu haperis. The main kvias of the suda, that which was accompanying the bread, was only fruit. V'alkein, and therefore, nechshavim, they are now considered, heim kashar dvorim hanizkorim la'el b'sif aleph. Therefore, they're now considered, like all other items that were mentioned in sif aleph, in other words, dvorim haboim, machmas asuda. However, tezayin, v'yesh cholkim, some would disagree, Sfirilaid mikomokoim im ochal mehem bitchilo beloy pas. This second opinion, the opinion of the smag, maintains that if at the end of the day you ate without bread, einom nasim tofel lahasuda. They do not become tofel. Why? I don't care, says the smag, that only thing you're eating is fruit, but you never ate it with bread. And fruit always is considered dvorim haboim shalom machmas asuda, and therefore v'tzorech levorech aleihem b'tchila. In which case you'd have to eat, you'd have to make a bracha on them first. We have two opinions. What do? So Shulchan Aruch says best is to avoid the shaila, and you eat it with bread, and after that it doesn't matter. Af al pi, even though you never ate any further fruit, says the Mishnah Berurah, rot saloima. After besif aleph, even though in sif aleph from rinon sheyoichel pas dafke gam lebesoif. In sif aleph, we said that what? That if you had peiros with the bread in the beginning and also at the end, then it would be incorporated by the bread's bracha. So why over here are we saying it's enough in the beginning, even without the end? The answer is this is much better. Why? Bazeh she'iker kvias su'udosoi mitchilo. Here, over here, seeing as the main kvias of the su'udah hayo rak al elu ha'peiris, was only on these fruits, yuchal le'chol achakach, therefore you can eat afterwards, l'kula alma, according to everybody below bracha, af she'ein dai toi le'chol imohim o'it pas, even though you are never planning to eat further bread. So remember, there's a big distinction between Sif Aleph and Sif Beis. The Shulchan Aruch at the end of Sif Aleph says that if in the beginning of the meal you had the fruit with bread, you're also planning on having the fruit with bread at the end, so then it's incorporated even if you happen to have some fruit in the middle of the meal without bread. But you have to have a beginning and an end. Whereas over here you only have to have a beginning. Why do you only have to have a beginning? Because you have to remember that essentially this case is much, much better. Why is this case much better? Because there was a very, very strong argument to say that you don't have to make a bracha on these fruits anyway. Because this, in fact, is the suda. It's not there lekinuach as an addition to the suda. This is what you're eating to satiate you. There is nothing else. In which case, you want to avoid the shayla, eat a bit with bread. Now the question is, what does that mean, eat a bit with bread? So let's go back to the shayla we discussed. As I said, I remember in England, a very, very short Shabbos in the winter, you could hardly eat a whole meal for Shalosh Shudas, you barely finished eating Shabbos lunch. So we used to wash on a roll, a couple of rolls, Lecha Mishnah, have some fruit, and that was it. That's mamash this case of the Shulchan Aruch. So it turns out that we're running into a huge shayla of Sofik Brochas. By the way, what's the halacha in the case of Sofik Brochas? You don't make a brocha. Especially in this case. What do I mean, especially in this case? So here, we need to share a very, very important rule. The Shulchan Aruch, normally, but not always, even when there's a machloikas, there could be more than one opinion on the subject, but the Shulchan Aruch, at the end of the day, will be machriya. What does that mean, he'll be machriya? He'll decide that we paskin like A, or we paskin like B. But there are occasions, quite a number of occasions, like the sif that we just learned, the Shulchan Aruch actually brings two opinions. And he doesn't actually spell out clearly that he's being machriya like opinion A or opinion B. So what do? So we have a following rule. The Shulchan Aruch brought the first opinion. He didn't say, yesh oimrim, that you don't make a bracha, v'yesh cholkin, that you do make a bracha. He didn't say that. How did he write it? He brought the first opinion, what we called as stam. What does stam mean? He didn't say there are those who hold as if there's some far-fetched opinion. He said, the halacha is you don't make a bracha. Some disagree. That's called a stam and a yesh oimrim. Whenever we have a stam and a yesh oimrim, the halacha is like the stam. That's the main opinion. So you'll ask me, well, if that's the case, so why did the Shulchan Aruch ever bother bringing the Yesh Oimrim then? If he anyway means to paskin like the Stam, then what's the purpose of bringing the Yesh Oimrim? Say that there are Tirutzim, because even if we paskin like the Stam, at the end of the day, we must be aware that the other opinion exists, so therefore it could be under extenuating circumstances, we can rely on the minority opinion, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, in our Shaila, when I'm now sitting with my rolls, and then I have fruit, so if I would have wanted to have avoided the shayla, I would have done what the Shulchan Aruch advised me. But I didn't do that. So now I've run smack into a huge machlekes rishonim between the Rosh and the Smag. So as you said, Reb Nachum, sofik, brachas, lahokel. That's always the famous rule. Therefore, the halacha would have been anyway that you don't make a bracha. So what did I mean when I said, certainly even more so in our case? Because in our case, the stam, which means the main opinion, is that you don't make a brocha anyway. So I've got two very, very compelling reasons not to make a brocha. Firstly, even if we don't paskin the shayla, it's a sofik. Sofik brocha is lahakil. Number two, l'chayra, we do have to paskin the shayla. The first opinion is the main opinion. However, even though the first opinion is the main opinion, but if I can avoid the machlaikas, obviously that's the best. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch told me the whole Eitzah of Toiv. In other words, Don't ask me a question. One second. If the Shulchan Aruch really means that the first opinion is the main one, so why does he have to start giving me toiv and eitzes? You don't have to make a bracha. The answer is beseder, but I'd much rather prefer to avoid machlokes. Once you've got yourself into a machlokes, halacha lemaisa, you do not make the bracha. Therefore, in our Shalashudas case, what's the halacha lemaisa? Lechatchila and bezyevet. Lechatchila, you should have some fruit with the bread. You have therefore made the fruit absolutely tafel. You've avoided the machlokes, you therefore not make a bracha on the fruit. If I didn't do that, then you've run into a machlokes, and halacha would also be that you don't make a bracha, but that's only second best, because lemaisa it's a machlokes.
In reality, what does it mean having fruit with the bread?
Oh, so let's see now the bottom be halacha. Look at the Bi'a Halacha, right at the bottom of the page. Mamash, the very, very last line. Now, the Bi'a Halacha is, of course, also written, compiled by the Chofetz Chaim. In fact, almost everything you see on this page, at least in the bottom half of the page, is all the Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bi'a Halacha, and the Shaar HaTzion. The Mishnah Berurah is, of course, in order to explain the Shulchan Aruch, the Shaar HaTzion at the bottom of the page is normally just to give you the references, and the Bi'ur Halacha is further explanation. That's why it's called Bi'ur Halacha. It's a Bi'ur, it's a Hezbah of the Halacha. So now, he poses the exact question you just asked. Look at the bottom line. Toiv sheyechal b'tchilo meha peiros. The best is to eat a little bit of peiros together with the bread, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Bi'ur Halacha. Ein rotzoloima. That does not mean to say sheyitoim ma'at impas. It does not mean to say that you should merely taste a very little bit with the bread. Dahaloi, ikka hatam. Because after all, the main reason sheyuchal lechol hapeiros b'li bracha, the main reason why I'm allowing you at the end of the day to eat the peiros without a bracha, af kesheloi ochal oidim hapas, even though I'm going to continue eating fruit not with the bread, kemoisha kosav haramah, is mishum dekova seudosoi alehen, because I'm being kaveh the suda. Ubeteima ba'alma loy mikri kvias suda. If I have a mere taste, then that's not enough. So therefore, there's a whole discussion afterwards. We're not going to carry on reading. We're going to stop over here. But the Bi'ur Halacha is telling me it's not merely enough to have a little slither of apple. How much do you have to have? He doesn't say.
Does that mean you should be eating it mamash in the same bite?
Together with the pas, yeah. Right. But it seems to be from the Bi'ur Halacha that he's telling you it's not merely enough to have a slightly...
Does that mean when you say hamotzi and take your first bite of bread, it has to be accompanied by the fruit?
No. It's not so important you have the bread with the fruit. The importance is you have the fruit with the bread.
I mean, that's what I mean.
Yes, you can have a bite on the bread even if there's no fruit.
Even if it's not your first
right,
bite of bread.
Right, but whenever it is, then when I'm finally coming to round to eat fruit, it's not independent of the bread, it's together with the bread. But how much fruit? Well, just a little nibble, since we know.
You said a number of times that we don't have to say a rock program and what's called an hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre we haven't discussed. Hors d'oeuvre is a whole separate discussion, because hors d'oeuvre, even though it might well be fruit, which is mechayev a bracha, but here it's to whet your appetite, it's to open the stomach, so we'll see the separate halachas.
So how can we be so mech on something that really, if you did it at any table, people would laugh at you and think you're...
Who would think you're crazy? If I would see you do it, I'd say, wow, gosh, nocham, I knew you're Tam HaChocham, didn't you? That big a Tam HaChocham. That's the correct halacha.
Halakha I know, votes. But it's the halacha, but it's saying to do something that's not done normally. No? If a guy goes to his... his in-laws for the first meal and he starts cutting up an apple and laying it on his challah, he's going to be looked at as not normal. Like, it's not a normal derech.
Well, it's not normal. It's not normal for people who don't know halacha. If you know the halacha and they give you strange looks, you should give them even a stranger look back. What, you don't keep halacha? What, you're one of those? There's a very, very interesting discussion. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, and this is not practiced nowadays, if you open a Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Nida, Shulchan Aruch says that a woman who is Tmeya Nida should have special Nida clothes. Special Nida clothes, a special set of clothes, or sets of clothes that she wears exclusively when she's Tmeya Nida. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses in a tshuva and says, this is rather strange, how embarrassing. As soon as she puts on these clothes, and that's an announcement to the whole shkunah, she should become a Tmeya Nida. Rav Moshe there talks about, why are you embarrassed of halacha? Everybody knows, every woman becomes a Nida once a month, half a month, so this is the time, keeping halacha, so what's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's a discussion, if you leave a keli shemalachto le'issa on your table on Friday night, can you move it if it's disturbing you tremendously? Moshe talks also, why is it disturbing you? If I come into your house and I see a pen on the table, I say, wow, psh, these guys really know what they're doing. They keep halacha. And they're proudly leaving the pen on the table, because they know there's no hetzer to move it. Sometimes you see, imagine your hat would fall off on Shabbos on the way to shul. I'm not talking about it gets absolutely caked in dust, but if it becomes a little bit dusty. So you have to know that halachas are not poshut, whether you can scrape it off and off. It's really stuck to it, it's extremely not poshut. Pashas, you cannot scrape it off completely. So if I see a guy coming to shul and I see, you know, a line of dust on his hat, I say, wow, kol hakavod. That's kovod Shabbos. This person clearly knows halacha. A lot of times people don't know the halacha. Like this morning, I was in Yerushalayim this morning. I went to a shiva. So it's a very, very strange situation. The Avelim were Koyanim's family Bonchek. They're Koyanim. But the halacha is that Avelim cannot get an aliyah to the Torah during the shiva. An oval is Asa B'Talmud Torah. An oval can't learn Torah. So here you had three Koyanim, but they were all Avelim, so you couldn't give any of them an aliyah. Fine. So they called up somebody else. There were no other Koyanim, so they called up somebody else for the first aliyah. Fine, that's what you're supposed to do. The next aliyah, guess what they did? They called up a Levi. Which is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because a Levi is only called up second if the Kohen was first. If not, you mustn't call up a Levi. Now the question becomes, Beseder, but what do you do if you've already called him up? The answer is, send him back down. So I yelled out, no, he shouldn't get an aliyah, and he launches into Baruch Hashem. Even then you're supposed to stop him, as long as he hasn't begun the brocha. So the Gabbai says, oh, but I didn't realize he's a Levi. So you just called him up as Yamoy Halevi. He said, yeah, I didn't realize when I called him up, but when he told me his name, then I realized. Anyway, it doesn't really matter whether you realized or not. At the end of the day, he's not supposed to get an aliyah, but it was too late. Now what do you do? Okay, now, game over, finished, end malasot. So he has to get the aliyah. You can't add any aliyah, especially not on a Monday or Thursday. Why must a Levi not get the second aliyah? Because it's a question of pagam. Pagam means it's a question of blemish. If the first aliyah was not a Kohen, what will people say? I'll say, oh, it must be that this person is not really a Levi. Because why would you call him up second? You only call him up second to a Kohen. Ah, if you're calling up second to a non-Kohen, it must be that he's a non-Levi. I'm very, very concerned not to cast aspersions on the validity of the Levi. That's why, for example, we don't call up. Imagine you call up a Kohen and then there's no Levi in Shul, but there's another Kohen. Can you call up a second Kohen? No. The first Kohen gets two aliyahs. Why? Because if you call out the second Kohen, what will people say? Oh, apparently the first Kohen wasn't a Kohen after all. That's what they realized. Okay. One more sif we're going to do. I might as well read sif here as well, then we finish the whole sif. The simon, dalet. This comes from a Rashba. Af al pi shaloi hoyu hapeiro islefonov b'shas shebireich al hapas. Even though the fruits were not in front of him when you originally made a bracha on the pas, but kivim de lelafes es hapas heim boim. Einom tuunim brocha klal. This is a very, very important discussion. Again, back to our shalashuda shayla. I'm only eating bread and also fruit, but when I made my brocha on the bread, the fruit were not there. The fruit was still in the fridge. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't matter. You still do not make a first brocha. Says the Mishnah Berurah Yud Ches. Oh, have a look. Mishnah Berurah Yud Ches. Va'afilu loy hoyo gamkein daitoy aleihem. Even though I never had specific das on them beferush, but the kiven shekivea atzmoi la'achila, hare min hastam, the stam is that daitoi al kol ma sheyoviu loy, the stam is whatever you bring for him. In other words, this is a very, very important halach. Imagine I drink a cup of water, or I say a shahakol on something else, and then all of a sudden, somebody brings me a piece of chocolate. I had no idea to bring me a piece of chocolate. I have to make another bracha, because I certainly did not have this in mind. Now, our friend over here made a bracha on bread and was not planning necessarily to eat fruit. In other words, not only was the fruit not in front of him, but he wasn't even thinking of eating fruit. Says the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, but this is better than the chocolate case. Why? Because when you make a shahakal over a whatever piece of meat, you're not planning necessarily to have another shahakol. So if it suddenly arrived on the table, you have to make a new bracha. But when you're kaveya yourself to eat a meal, such that you start with bread, then the automatic das is, I'm now sitting, eating a meal, and my first bracha will therefore include anything that will be brought to me. And even if they suddenly bring me fruit, I say, oh wow, that's nice, I wasn't planning on eating that. Doesn't matter, it's necessarily included. Okay, let's finish the very last sif, and with that, Baruch Hashem, we finish the whole siman. Im achar shebireich al hapas. If after you made a bracha on the pas, sholchu loy mi bayis achirim she'einoy somuch aleihem. Now this is even more complex. They didn't merely bring him fruit. They brought him fruit from where?
Outside.
From outside. Sholchuloi, they sent him mibayis acherim from a house of others, she'einoy somuchalei, which it doesn't rely on. Meaning, we're not talking about, for example, it's a son and a father, so they rely on each other. Finish, my neighbor all of a sudden arrived with food, veloy hoyo daitoy al hadoyroin, and he had no das on what's a doyroin, a gift. Afilu midvorim shedarkon lovoy lelafes es hapas, even on those items which are normally there to be eaten with bread, tzorich levorich aleihem. Why? Kedin nimlach. We had nimlach previously. Nimlach means it's as if he changed his mind. Bishloima before, when we said that, what? The Mishnah Berurah says that anything you bring to him will be automatically incorporated. Why? Because there is, as it were, a general mindset, a default mindset, that when I wash on my bread, anything that they may bring to me is included. But I definitely wasn't thinking about my neighbor's food. You can say there's a default position. Anything they bring me, what, from my fridge, from my cupboard. But I definitely was not thinking about that my neighbor would all of a sudden knock on my door, hey, I just made a l'chaim because I finished a sieve, here, have this piece of cake. Oh, wow, wasn't thinking about that.
What if he brings something that would be tougher?
That's what we're talking about. It says, even if it's something which is l'lafes ben esapas, still, tzorech l'vorech alem, kedin nimlach, says the Ramah, no. Hago v'loy ro'isi nizhorim bezeh. I've never seen people be careful with this. Ve'efsha Maybe the reason is the tama, the stam das hodom, the default das of a person is al kol, underline the word kol, mashem mevien lo besuda. It must be, says the Ramah, I have no other choice. I understand the Shulchan Aruch, but the facts on the ground are that I don't see people being concerned with this, so I have no other choice to say. Maybe the reason is that apparently we're going to say that when you make a bracha, the stam das of a person is to include absolutely everything. Even my neighbor suddenly arrives with food. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Chof, even if it is darkon lavoi, even if you would ordinarily eat this with bread, but here it's considered completely out of the radar. Rot Saloima, says the Mishnah Berurah, Sikoton Chof, vegam oichlon im hapas. In fact, even if you're actually eating it with the bread, but kiven shehumi bayis acherim, seeing as it comes from the house of others, shebevadai, certainly loy hoyo daitoy aleihem klal, certainly, at least according to Shulchan Aruch, you do not have your das over them, therefore ein niftorin bebirkas hapas, therefore they would not become exempted with the brocha overpass. Says the Mishnah Berurah in conclusion, Sivkot Mechof Aleph, that the Ramah disagreed, and the Ramah says that apparently your das is al kol ma. Fahainu kishehivu lo idvore ma boy machmasasuda. That's at least if they bring you those items that come machmasasuda. De lo imevia lo minay peirois lo mahani. Because if they would bring you fruit, which we always categorize as what? Then it would not help. Even if you actually had das, but again, you only had das on your own fruit, not your neighbor's fruit, even according to the Ramah. Unless you actually eat them with the bread. Now, the Mishnah Berurah very, very helpfully sums up everything, because it's a very confusing siman. So Mishnah Berurah now sums it all up. Kitza dinei peirois. This is a concise version, a summary of halachas of dinei peirois habaim b'toich asuda. Halacha number one. Im oichel im pas. If you actually eat it together with the pas, obviously that's the simplest case. Pshita she'in sarach klal bracha. Obviously you won't need a bracha. Why? That's a classic ikar and tofel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Danase tofel lepas. Because then obviously it becomes a tofel to the bread. Va'afilu loy hoyo daitoy lezeh beferush. Even if you didn't actually have this absolutely in mind, b'shas birkas hamoitzi, when you made hamoitzi, you weren't planning to eat the fruits mamish together with the bread. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, you did eat the fruit with the bread. So what was the status of the fruit? Tofel. That's poshut, says the Mishnah Berurah. Absolutely no shaila about it. No question, no machloikas. You definitely do not make a bracha rishona over those fruits. That's halacha number one. Here comes number two. Ve'im oichel b'loy pas. If you eat them not with the bread, meaning as dessert as we call them, then it's equally pshita shetzarech bracha l'fneim. That's also poshut, just the halacha is the opposite way around. In that case, you certainly would make a bracha. Why? This is the absolute classic case. It's not a tofel, and it's also not dvarim haboim machmas asuda. Therefore, v'afilu heim avushalim, even if they're cooked, remember we spoke about the cooked apples, dahava shaloi machmas asuda. That's considered shaloi machmas asuda. I mean, it's not there to help the bread. It's not there to satiate you. Rak lekinuach ba'alma. It's coming for mere dessert purposes, merely to give you a nice taste. That's so far two halachas. Avol, number three. Im roitza lechoil peirois. If you want to eat fruit, ktsas im hapas, the ktsas b'loy hapas, a bit with, a bit without. Pazeh yesh deyos chalukos. That is a bit of a discussion. Al kein yesh linhoig. Best, therefore, is to accustomize to do the following. Sheyechal tchilo me'at. Beloy pas. V'yevorech aleihen. V'achach yuchal lechoil shar ha'peirois bein b'pas. This was the machlokes that we saw.
That wasn't the Eitzah we had before, was it?
No, this is not the Eitzah of Sif Gimel. This is the halacha we mentioned earlier on in was it in base? Yeah, it was a Mishabura and Skav Niyut. Because the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Sif Aleph said, if you have a bit with and a bit without, you don't need a bracha. And the Mishabura says, actually, it's a machlokes. Achreinim kasu, then maybe not. Therefore, the best would be that what? You should have fruit first, before the bread, nothing to do with the meal. You definitely make a bracha over those fruits, and therefore, after that, all other fruits have been exempted. That's what he's saying over here. Halacha number 4. V'zehu b'kaveya su'udosai. Everything we've said above is when you're talking about a person who's kaveya his suda, lelafeis hapas b'sharadvarim. When the body of the meal is other items, such that the fruit is considered dvarim aboim, shaloi machmas ha-suda. Avol, this is the halacha we just saw. Avol b'kaveya su'udosai lelafeis hapas b'peiris. But if the body of the suda is the fruit, so what do we saw? It's actually 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. Kiven she'ochal mitchila peiros im hapas. Therefore, definitely yuchal lechol b'soif peiros b'loy pas b'loy brocha. If you do not have fruits at the beginning with the meal, it's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, and the main opinion is to be mekel. Okay, again, these are complicated halachas, as many of halachas brachas are. That's why the Mishabura clearly felt it necessary to fill us in and give us a whole summary at the end. Okay, we're not going to start the new sugya. For the moment, we're going to hold it over here, but I don't want to finish early, so I want to share with you a thought. The next sugya is a complex sugya, but Be'ez Hashem, begin that next week.
Start a new window.
Many years ago, I heard when I was in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, I heard this from Rav Matisyo Solomon, Shiyarach Yomim Vashonim. He was in Yerushalayim at the time and he gave a drosha. And he said a phenomenal pshat, which is a very important understanding in the psukim over here. Esav sends 400 men to go and attack or greet Yaakov Avinu. Now, it's a phenomenal thing. Why was he wanting to attack Yaakov? Because he was still upset over the whole story with the brachas, which had happened over 20 years ago. And he was still apparently cocked up. He was still boiling about it. So the obvious question, this is what Ramatzio asked, is that if he was still boiling about it and bubbling 20 years later, why did he wait this long to send people to go and get Yaakov? Presumably he knew where Yaakov was all along. And if that's the case, He should have sent his troops 20 years ago to go and get him. No. He's sitting with Lavan. Now finally leaves Lavan and he's coming back home. Oh, now let's go and get him. Because Esau couldn't be bothered to send his troops a little bit further. It sounds very, very unlikely. So he explained the following. Pashup Shat. He said, we have to realize the dynamics that existed between Esav and Yaakov. And this really explains the whole relationship between them. When Rivka was initially expecting these twins, and she goes to seek an Eitzah from Shem, what does Shem tell us? There's going to be two nations. When one is up, the other one is down. When the first one is down, the other one is up. That is the ever-present dynamic between Esav and Yaakov. They cannot simultaneously both succeed. That was predicted by the Novi Hashem, Shem ben Noach, that when one is up, the other one is down. When one is down, the other one is up. And Esav knew this full well. So he knew, as Chazal famously tell us, when Yitzchok said, HaKoil Koil Yaakov, Vayadayim Idei Esav. One of those two will succeed, but not at the same time. If there is a Koil Koil Yaakov, what does that mean, there's a Koil Koil Yaakov? If Yaakov is strong in Torah and in Ruchnius, then what happens to the Adayim Idei Esav? Then they become weakened. He cannot topple Yaakov. If Yaakov's koil koil becomes weakened, then the Yadayim Yidei Esav becomes strengthened. But they're never strong at the same time. That was the crucial nevuah, and that always exists at all times in history between Esav and Yaakov. Now, says Rav Matisyo, Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. When did he want to kill him? 20 years ago, obviously. Immediately upon the whole story. 34 years, was that long?
20,
because plus 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver, that's right. So there were 3 decades, and certainly he wanted to kill him then. Why didn't he? Because he knew that as long as Yaakov is strong in his ruchnius, we have to remember, Yaakov is now, 30-odd years ago, leaving whose house? He's leaving the house of Yitzchak, which means that he had for decades and decades been under the influence of Yitzchak Avinu. If he's been under the influence of Yitzchak Avinu, then obviously that means that Yaakov is going to be sky high in Ruchnius. So Esav knew that what? He's got no way he can get the better of him. He hears that Yaakov is off to Lavan. So what's he thinking to himself? Ah, wonderful. It's too good to be true. He was more than happy for him to be with Lavan. In fact, the longer he can stay with Lavan, the better it would be. So if you want to know why Esav didn't attack earlier, it's not because he couldn't be bothered, and it's not because he wasn't angry, but rather he's thinking to himself, let him stay with Lavan as long as possible. In fact, the longer the better. Because the more he's with Lavan, presumably, what's going to inevitably happen to him, at least this is what Esav thought, he's going to slip in his ruchnius, and then the Yadayim Yidei Esav come back. Yaakov is now on his way back, and he's about to be reunited with Yitzchak. Ah, says Esav, this is now the optimum time to get him then. I've now let him linger, and he thought, fall, for over 30 years, but all my work in waiting is going to be undone if he's once again reunited with Yitzchak. So Yitzchak will once again be mashpia on him. So the Kol Kol Yaakov will be strong. This was Rav Matisyahu's pshat. Therefore, this is the absolute optimum moment to go and try and attack Yaakov, having been all of these years with Lavan, not having yet been reunited with Yitzchak. Now, I can't remember if he added, maybe he did, but if not, it's the obvious addition. Now, what is the message that Yaakov sends to him? Im Lavan, Garati, Rashi says, "Im lovon garati, v'tariag mitzvah is shomarati." He says, "Im lovon harosho garati, v'tariag mitzvah shomarati." Remember the words of Rashi, "V'loi lo madati, and I did not learn mi ma'isav haroim, from his evil acts." Now, kipshuta, it's very, very difficult to understand. Why would Esav be in the slightest bit interested in hearing that? Esav, you'll be thrilled to know that I never was influenced by Lavan in any which way. I'm still the same Yaakov Avinu. I'm delighted to hear. Why would he need to tell him that? But according to Ramatzio's pshat, it's fantastic. Yaakov is sending him a message. I understand fully why you want to now try and attack me, because you're convinced that I've probably been influenced by Lavan. Well, that's exactly the message you were sending to him. Don't bother. I'm still the same Yaakov. Im lovon garati, v'tariag mitzvah shomarati. In fact, I once suggested as an addition to the whole vort of Ramatzio. If you remember in the story, the end of Parshas Toldos, after the brachas were taken, do you remember the words that Esav said? Esav was so angry, he says, "Yikrevu yimei evel avi." Let the days of my father's demise and his death come close. Va'aharga is Yaakov ochin, and I'll kill my brother Yaakov. Now, why was he making it contingent on the death of his father? So Rashi says, because I don't want to be metzair. Because remember, Esav had kibud av. But in light of Ramatzio's pshat, maybe we can suggest a brand new meaning. He wasn't concerned in the slightest about his father. What he meant was, as soon as his father dies, that's Yaakov's ruchnius input cut off. So there's no point trying to kill him as long as my father's alive. Why? Because he'll be mashpi on him, the kol Yaakov will be strong. So I'll wait, there's Esav, till his father dies. Once his father dies, then I'll be able to get the better of him. Because I remember, actually, many years ago, somebody asked me a fantastic question, and I saw that the Sif Sochom discusses it. Esav clearly said, "Yikrevu yimei evel avi." Now, if you look at the Pesukim, when he came out in this week's parasha to attack Yaakov, Yitzhak had not yet died. So what's going on? Well, he forgot his initial promise, he changed his mind. But again, according to Matzio, it's very good. He wasn't concerned with his father's welfare. He just wanted his father out of the way to cut off Yaakov's ruchnia source. But that's happened anyway, because he's been 35 years with Lavan. Therefore, the fact that his father is alive is neither here nor there. The only thing he was concerned about was that Yaakov shouldn't be reunited with Yitzchak. But the fact that Yitzchak was alive was neither here nor there. So, Koponim, that was a very, very profound, a very fantastic pshat that Ramatzio said. And I believe he probably added that was the Rashi. That's why he was sending a message back saying, "Tariag mitzvah shomarati." Therefore, don't try and attack. Okay, hold it over here.